Someone has said, many others have observed and worded it in different ways when they say that the world judges Christians by their words and actions, not by their pious wishes and good intentions. So here you have in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his underling. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, and then as that's lived out, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And he said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Be thou an example, a shining example. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, you have the arrest and the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. I want to just point out to you, with an emphasis on the shining, in Acts chapter 9, as Saul was doing his thing prior to his conversion days, was on his way to Damascus, and verse 3 says, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." A light, suddenly. Apart from anything else we might say tonight, I would encourage you to chase that word "sudden" or "suddenly" down through the scriptures and note the significance of that as it joins in the life and times of people, suddenly. Just a superficial consideration of it seems to encourage one to make sure that you don't hold on to anything here on earth too tightly, and that you don't necessarily make plans here for the long haul. Things can and do change suddenly. That's aside. But here, suddenly, a light from heaven. It is later described in his further testimony in Acts chapter 22 at verse number 6 as a great light. A great light. Not so much here, but he said suddenly there was there shined around about him a light from heaven. We gather that the fact that he fell to the earth as a result of that it was pretty significant. But in Acts 22:6, he describes it in his testimony as a great light. A great light. And yet when we continue on in this chapter 9, I just point out to you that in the 15th verse, you have a definition or an explanation of his commission. "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Three groupings there. Now, when you get into the latter chapters of the book of Acts, you find him dealing with Agrippa and Festus, and on through his life when he finally gets to Rome, he's dealing with other authority figures as well. But whenever it is said in the 15th verse, it doesn't explicitly say, but you can pretty much take it to mean that he is called to bear my name before the Gentiles. In the great I Am passages in John's Gospel, one of the great I Ams that he says, Jesus says, "I am the light." And so we will say to you that wherever the apostle was heading with this message to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the people of Israel, that he would be a bearer of the light, a great light. As a matter of fact, he further describes that light in Acts chapter 26. It's interesting to me how the first mention in Acts 9, then to Acts 22, Acts 26, at the verses 12 and 13, he describes it, same light, as above the brightness of the sun, S-U-N. And he would be the one who would be bearing witness to the sun, S-O-N, who himself is declared to be the light of the world. So this light is very significant. Again, I call you to remember that Jesus self-identified in a couple of places, John chapter 8, John chapter 12, when he said, I am the light. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest is here how he identifies himself to Saul of Tarsus. But when it comes down to our example, a shining example, I want you to remember this. An old brother, one of my favorites, Brother Anon, penned these few lines when he said, with regard to our example, he said, O Christian, remember, you bear his dear name. Your life is for others to view. A living example, men praise you or blame, and measure your Savior by you. For some people that you interact with, the only Savior they will ever see, the only concept of a Redeemer that they will ever know is what they see in you. And so when it talks about an example, Christ, for in this sense, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, John chapter 13, verse 15, but you have two primary texts among a half a dozen or so in the New Testament where the Apostle Peter says that Christ has left us an example, follow in his steps. When Jesus was teaching his disciples about humility, and when he had taken the basin and the towel, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, he also encouraged them at the end of that little lesson. He said, do as I have done to you. Follow his example. A shining example. Now, the classic passage on the light as it would apply to you and to me is in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. A couple things that we are to give regard to with regard to the light. One is positive, one is prohibitive. Matthew 5 verse 16. The positive side of it is, with regard to the light, let your light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Let your light shine. But then the prohibitive, in the same context. What don't you do with a light? Yeah. Don't put it under a bushel. It is well worth our consideration for meditation purposes to make sure that as the children of God, we don't live our lives under a bushel. You can have a light under a bushel, you can. But after a while, something disappears if it's tight enough. You have a light burning under a bushel, something's going to disappear. First of all, likely the oxygen. And if the flame is hot enough in the light, you're likely to burn the bushel. But let others see Jesus in you. Be thou an example. I found this little story out of in a book called World Horizons, written by Cole Robinson. And he related this incident about Benjamin Franklin that I think perfectly fits with our thoughts here tonight. He said, when Benjamin Franklin decided to interest the people of Philadelphia in street lighting, he hung a beautiful lantern on the end of a long bracket attached to the front of his house. He kept the glass brightly polished. He carefully lit the wick every night during the evening. Anyone walking in the dark street could see his light from a long way off and came under its warm glow. It seemed to say, says the writer, come along, my friend. Here's a safe place to walk. See that cobblestone sticking up? Don't stumble over it. And remember, I'll be here to help you again tomorrow night if you should come this way. It wasn't long, says the author, before Benjamin Franklin's neighbors began placing lamps outside their homes. Soon the entire city realized the value of street lighting and followed his example with enthusiasm. And so we say, let your light shine. Let it shine. And remember the poem. The thrust of the poem is that for some people, the only image of Christ that they will ever come in contact with is you. And the question then remains is, will there be enough of Jesus shining in you and through you to make an impact in the darkness? Now, as I say that, I want to have you think with me one other place in the scripture. In John chapter 1, John's Gospel chapter 1, the Apostle John has a lot to say here through his gospel letter and through his smaller epistles. But in John chapter 1, there is an interesting, to me, an interesting little word that I, from time to time, like to dwell upon. But on our way to verse number 18, where you will find the word exegete, let me read these verses. When we look at John chapter 1, we read at verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it proceeds on down through the great passage of scripture in verse 14, the word became flesh, dwelt among us. But I come down to verse number 18, where it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And that word declare is the form of the word that from which we get our English word exegesis, which has in mind a systematic setting forth of an explanation, in this case for our purposes of Scripture, so that we can understand that here is a statement where the Godhead, particularly the Father and the Son, have been exegeted, set forth in a systematic, clearly established pattern, and it is has the effect of unfolding the truth about him to the world. So when the light came into the world, everything that you can mark through the Gospel of John and his letters, and I'll give you a few for instances in a minute, is a fuller unfolding of him who was hidden from all eternity until that blessed time when he came to Bethlehem's manger. And then it was there that God unfolded the marvelous, marvelous word, the incarnate word of God. Now think about this. There is also this famous passage in Matthew chapter 3 at the baptism of Jesus where this statement is made. There was a voice from heaven saying, there you find, maybe the kids will be able to relate to this, I don't. There's the word Lego. Okay, Lego. It is to lay side by side in order. Side by side in order. When there is this reference to the Lord Jesus, there came a saying from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Unfolded there, set in order there, exposed and explained was the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment. Whenever we think about some of the other things that the Apostle John mentioned about him, we can take in his epistles, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Bestowed upon us. In the fourth chapter of that same book, in this was manifested. Link all of these things to the exegesis of Christ. The manifesting, the bestowal, the unfolding, the setting forth. And we have the definition of love there as well as an identification of the Son of God where in 1 John 4 verse 16, God is love. Never before he appeared on earth was love, ever so evident in the simple appearing of the Son of God, considering the purpose for which he came and for all that he accomplished at his death on the cross. God is love. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, says John. And so whenever we think about a Thanksgiving exegesis, we can conclude with something that the Apostle Paul, we start full circle, come back to Saul of Tarsus, to Paul the Apostle, and in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, he says this, with regard, two things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, you can turn there if you will, and we'll finish with that for this evening. Great Thanksgiving exegesis here. Just in the case that you would have come here tonight or have arrived here at this point in your life today without a single thing to be thankful about, just in case. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the truth with you, but it might just be that you struggle with that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who, verse 13, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Define redemption in that last verse. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is had through the blood of Christ. So if you take everything else away, everything else seems to me to be rather insignificant and irrelevant, placed right next to that concept. When we look at Colossians chapter 1:13, we have been delivered, translated in the heart and mind of God. It's an actual deed accomplished from the power of the darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, who himself is the light. So I say, with all that consideration of the light, keep this in mind with regard to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. A shining light works good. A shining light works good. If I can restate the verse in that fashion, it is the same conclusion. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear God and our Father, for this bit of time that we've had, and in the little places that we have visited in your word, help us to just leave with the determination to shine for Jesus and to let nothing taint our testimony. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that there be absolutely no, not even a splinter of the shadow of darkness enter our lives. But rather, dear God, may we simply shine in the fullness of the light that shines within through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it all in his name. Amen.